But I want to discuss, not directly related to this keynote, but there was one phrase that when I was going through the other day that caught my eye and sparked an idea. We're about to say V'hinini aguma v'aguna yosem elef shana. How it's been over 1,000 years and we're still alone. And we're still waiting for Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Chasan, to come greet us and reunite with us. I was reminded by Gemara in Tainus. It tells us there's a halacha that if a Kohen were to know that if he comes from a certain yichus, and if he knew he worked in the Beis HaMikdash, if he knew which week he worked, if he knew which day of the year that he worked in the Beis HaMikdash, the halacha is he can't drink wine that day. Because there's a possibility the Beis HaMikdash might come that very day. And if he's not fit to work in the Beis HaMikdash because he drank, or if he knew which week he had, but he didn't know which day the week he had, but that week was his week, his Mishmar, so he couldn't drink the entire week, says the Gemara. Because perhaps the Beis HaMikdash is going to come, and that will be his week. And let's say he knew that he was from a family that worked in the Beis HaMikdash, but he didn't know which day, and he didn't know which week, so then he couldn't drink the entire year, which means his entire life he couldn't drink, because maybe the Beis HaMikdash will come. And he needs to be prepared to build that Beis HaMikdash, and to work in the Beis HaMikdash. But comes along Rebbe, and Rebbe says that Kilkaluso Vizu Takanasa, that the kilkal, the destruction, or the fact that the Beis HaMikdash hasn't yet come, and it's been so long, in Rebbe's time this was, and the Beis HaMikdash didn't come, that's the takana. That's the takana that the Kohen's allowed to drink. Because we're not really expecting the Beis HaMikdash to come. This is what Rebbe said. Over 1,500 years ago, in his time, he says, let a Kohen drink all he wants. We're not choshesh that the Beis HaMikdash is coming right now. 1,500 years later, we're still saying the same thing. If I were to ask everyone here, myself included, do we really think the Beis HaMikdash is coming? Do we really believe that it's coming? Do we really believe the Mashiach is coming? And the truth is that Kikalusa Zu Takanasa, the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, that's actually going to work to our advantage. Because Ein Mashiach Ben David Ba, Mashiach doesn't come, Elam Nisayishu Minagula. Unless we actually give up hope, Mashiach will not come until each one of us actually think it's not coming. Once we all agree that Mashiach isn't coming, and the Bai Shlishi is not coming, that's when Mashiach is actually going to come. But this goes against one of the foundations of the Emuna. Ani Mamin, Emuna Shlema, Vivias Mashiach. Even though it's going to be delayed, despite the fact that it's been so long, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait for Mashiach, no matter how long it's going to take us. And one of the first questions we're going to be asked when we go to Beis Din Shamal, the Gemara tells us, to Pisal Yeshua, did you anticipate? Did you long for the coming of Yeshua? Did you expect Mashiach to come? So are we supposed to expect it? Are we supposed to achakelo? Are we supposed to tzipisil Yeshua? Are we supposed to just nisyaishu, just give up and expect it not to come? Many people among us, many people in the world are looking for their Yeshua, looking for their Geula. They're looking for the redemption. Whether they're struggling with a parnasa, whether they can't keep a job, or they can't pay their mortgage, whether sucked into a world of addiction, be it drinking, drugs, the internet, whether it be with raising their children and problems with chinuch, whether it be shalom bayis, they can't get along with their spouse. And sometimes they want to just give up. Just give up, there's no Yeshua. And sometimes they're tzipisil Yeshua, they're expecting some Yeshua to come. And how are we supposed to balance between giving up hope and expecting something to come? And while there are many answers given, I just came across Yaakov Kamenetsky this week. And he explains that the answer is that of course we have to tzipisil Yeshua. Of course we have to anticipate the Geula. Of course we're going to wait no matter how long it takes. But you know what it means to be misyayish from the Geula? It says it means that we have to give up hope that we don't know how it's going to come. Meaning we trust. We believe it's going to come. How it's going to come, that we give up. It's not going to come through Teva, he writes. It's not going to come because we have a wonderful government in Israel or government in America. It's not going to come because we have planes and a great military. It's going to come some way we're not going to expect it. Bai Shlishi is going to come down from Shemaim in some way we have no idea how. Even with technology and spaceships and all that wonderful things that we have. That's not going to be the way Yeshua is going to come. It's going to come. We must expect it to come. We have to long for it. But how it's going to come, we can't expect that we're going to be the ones to make it happen. In a scientific way, in a natural way. It's going to come in some supernatural way that we can't even expect. And that's what everyone who's going through these various struggles in life, they can't give up hope. The only way for them to keep going is to peace to the Yeshua. It's only with that Lev Evan, that hard heart, that able to withstand the entire life of tzara and struggle that they go through as a nation, as a person. They have to stay strong. They have to believe it's going to come. But it's going to come some way we have no idea how. Some unexpected Yeshua is going to come. I was reminded a couple of years ago, I paid a shiva call to Mrs. Thurm, Gloria Thurm. And she was sitting shiva for her mother, who's a Holocaust survivor. And she was telling me how her mother, when she came over to America, she had no idea what happened to her mother, to her father, to her siblings, to her family. But every time there was a full moon, she'd go outside and she'd stare up at that full moon, hoping somewhere in the world her mother's looking at that same full moon, that her father's looking at that same full moon somewhere across the world, that her siblings, her family, she knew there was no way it made sense that they lived. It didn't make any sense. She'd miss Yahish that would happen. But the tikva, the hope, the tzipisil Yeshua, some glimmer of hope that somehow she'd be reunited with her family. And she wasn't, to my understanding. But that's what it means to be tzipisil Yeshua, to hope for the best without knowing how it's going to happen. Now sometimes, in our own life, things are going well. Shalom bayis and chinuch and the children and the learning and the davening and the parnassus, everything's good. It's the other guy who's having the issues. The other girl who's having the issues. Sometimes you could serve as that unexpected Mashiach for that family. To be that unexpected Mashiach for that family. That hero. There's a guy down the block and, you know, what's the first thing we think? His kid's off the derech. The first thing we say is, well, thank God it's not my kid. And then the next thing we say is, well, knowing the parents, they probably did something. They probably deserved it. Someone once asked for Shimon Zatal about a certain shidduch who's read. And the Gemara tells us that when you're looking into a shidduch, you should look into the brother. So there's a wonderful girl, the Bas Midos, the Bas Chesed, but her brother wasn't suffering. And he was concerned whether he should date the girl. The family had a child off the derech. So Shimon said, Bizman HaZeh, we don't hold like that Gemara. Bizman HaZeh, a child off the derech has no reflection on the parents and upbringing at all. So many other things pulling people in all different directions. What if I told you that you're able to be that person's Mashiach? That family's Mashiach, that unexpected Yeshua that they're looking for. By Reuven Bauman's Zichron Lebracha, the Rebbe who saved that child drowning, he was that boy's Mashiach. He was that family's Mashiach, but he saved that 11-year-old boy. I have no doubt when that boy becomes married and has a first son, he'll name him Reuven. A few weeks ago, I attended a shiur. Rav Asher Weiss gave a shiur in Fairlawn. I was invited to come and join him just to go for the ride. And it was in memory of a young girl, a 5-year-old girl named Sophie. And she suffered for 2.5 years with cancer. And when she's already 4, she was sent to Camp Simcha. She had the best time of her life. And this year again, she wanted to go back to Camp Simcha. I don't know the exact month, but March, April, May time, the doctor said she wasn't going to make it. And she said she wanted to go to Camp Simcha so badly. And miraculously, she was able to live into the summer. And while Camp Simcha normally doesn't take kids who are at the end, they made an exception because this young 5-year-old Sophie was so determined to go. And against all the doctors, she lived an extra few weeks. And she made it through her session of Camp Simcha this past summer. Because she was determined to go to Camp Simcha. And 2 or 3 days later, her neshama was taken. So at this shiur I went to in her memory, it's in Rabbi Yudin's shul, it's Rabbi Andrew Markowitz. He's the assistant rabbi, or the new rabbi there. So as he was giving the introductory remarks, he had shared a story that took place during Shiva. We went to visit Menachem Avil to the parents, to the siblings. And Rabbi Markowitz got to the Shiva house, the father said, Rabbi Markowitz, I need to tell you the most amazing story I just heard. See, Sophie's counselor from this past summer shared with her the following idea, following Maisa. Sophie, this 5-year-old girl, was there in camp. And next to her was a 4-year-old girl, also suffering from some illness. And Sophie looks at her and says, why are you so sad? She said, well, this is the first time I'm away from my parents. So Sophie said, I remember when I was four, last summer, I felt the same way. But let me tell you something. Listen to this five-year-old girl, what she says. My father is staying in a hotel a few minutes away from this camp. And I know that whenever I need him, I just need to call him. And he'll be right here with me. So she says to the four-year-old girl, I know, I'm sure your father is also just a few minutes down the block at that same hotel. I'm sure if you need him, you just call him, he'll be right here with you. And there's so many kids in this world who are looking for their father down that block, just a few minutes away. The power of this young girl, Sophie, that our father is just a few minutes away from us down the block. You have the chance to be that father of these people who need us. Whether that's a shalom bias issue that some family down the block is happening, or your person you see next to in shul, your child needs some help. Just to learn with a guy who's struggling in learning, to pick up a chavrusa with a guy. Just to talk to him, to listen to what he has to tell you. I met an individual this summer, and she told me that she just started a new organization. And she's trying to raise money for it, and this is not a fundraiser, I'm not even going to mention the organization. But she started it to help children who can't stay in yeshiva, to help find them jobs, get them classes, how to put themselves together, how to have proper etiquette, how to interview, and how to work on the job. And what was the motivation? I asked her, why did she start this organization? And she told me because she had a neighbor whose child couldn't stay in yeshiva. She was kicked out of one yeshiva after the next yeshiva after the next yeshiva. And she saw the struggle that her neighbor was going through, and she wanted to do something to help them out. And so she found the guy a job. And she saw so many other children who couldn't stay in yeshiva. And so she started to raise money and look for people who would take such individuals as being part of their organization, their companies, their jobs, to work in a pizza store, to work in this job, delivering, whatever it might be. But this was a lady who's the Mashiach for her neighbor. And she's the Mashiach for every other family who is going to benefit from her organization. I got to spend the Shabbos earlier in the summer in Camp Sternberg with Dov Beresh. So I was there the second Shabbos when camp started. And he told me an incredible ma'isa what happened the first Shabbos that I wasn't there for. There are different sections of Camp Sternberg. A lot of camps going on in one camp. So there was a girl who was in camp, and they caught her doing something with whatever it was that she shouldn't be doing. And it was understood that she could not be in the bunk with the other girls. And they found this out on Shabbos, and they, of course, couldn't send her home. But they were forced to figure out what to do with her. So they consulted some of the senior staff men or staff women that were there. The lady, Mrs. Gruen, there, has been there from the time of Greenwald. And she said, the rule's always been here, we always give someone a second chance. And if they came to camp, they're here for a reason. They came to Adal Amos, we have to do the best we can. And they weren't sure what to do with her. And one of the programs they have there is Lishma, run by Deborah Fliegelman. And Dov Beresh was explaining to me, they have this whole ceremony at the beginning of the summer, where all these girls, they have, they're given a bracelet, rather a necklace with a coin around it. Change, it's a time for change. These girls have to change themselves, and now here's a necklace, here's a penny, and now it's time to change. It's a chashuv thing. They do all wonderful things throughout the summer, this camp, this section of Lishma. So this girl who was caught doing whatever she was doing was walking down one of the pathways there in Sternberg. And Doe was explaining to me that she came to the camp with her hair bangs over her face and a hoodie, very dark and hidden and scary, intimidating. And so Deborah Fleetwood came from behind her. And she put a necklace on with one of those pennies. With that change. And she says to her, now's your chance. Now's the time to change. And immediately her hoodie was off. Her bangs were out of her hair, out of her face. And she became a new person. Because she had no parents to believe in her. No teachers or Baim to believe in her. No one to be that Mashiach for her. She was to peace of Yeshua. She was trying to communicate by doing whatever she was doing, looking for some way out. And she did not expect it to come in this way. And all of us, even those who are enjoying life and things are going great, who may not need that Mashiach and the Yeshua like they think. But there's someone else next to you in shul. There's someone else next to you down the block from you who needs a Yeshua. To be that Rabbi Bauman. To be Sophie's father. To be Deborah Fliegelman. That's what it means to be Tzipis Yeshua. And to bring that Yeshua to each person who needs that. And the zechus of that we should be zocha to the final redemption. The P.S. get all said they can hear me. Amen.
Hope has funny. Hey, Tachamuni.